Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our story begins as Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to complete his work of salvation. While he was walking, coming to the outskirts of a village, Jesus encountered 10 lepers. Now, in case you haven't heard or you weren't paying attention to Pastor's children's sermon, leprosy was a very feared disease. It resulted in the slow rotting away of your body and eventual death. In the meantime, you were banished from your community and forced to live away from everyone else except other lepers. When you come close to anyone other than lepers, you are required to announce your presence and warn them that you were diseased and unclean, spiritually and physically. Now the lepers, when they recognize that it is Jesus approaching them, they call out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Kyrie, eleison. And Jesus, seeing their condition, perceiving that they were lepers, simply said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." Now, in order to understand the significance of this, we have to go back to the Old Testament, back to Leviticus, to see what it says about leprosy. "When a person has a case of leprosy, then he shall be brought to Aaron, the priest, or to one of his sons. And the priest shall examine the diseased area on the skin of the body. And if the hair in the diseased area has turned white, and the disease appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, then it is a case of leprous disease. When the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce him unclean. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let his hair hang loose. And he shall cry out, 'Unclean, unclean!' And he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. And he shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside of the community. Likewise, if somebody was cured of leprosy, then he had to go through the same process in reverse, so to speak. He would be brought to the priest, and the priest would go outside of the temple, outside of the community, and the priest would examine them. Then, if the case of leprous disease shows itself to be healed, the priest would command them to take 2 birds and sacrifice them for a blood offering to give glory to God, and he would be declared clean. And after that, he may come back into the community." Now realize, people don't get cured of leprosy. In those days, it was an incurable disease. And so people died of leprosy. Unless there was a miracle, they were not going to get better. And also notice that the priest was doing nothing to heal them. If they came back and said, "I'm clean," it had happened outside of that. That was simply a sacrifice to give glory to God for what had already happened. In our Bible passage, Jesus just told them to go and be examined by the priest. They were still lepers. But in faith, they went. And as they went, they were cleansed of their disease. Now one leper, when he realized that he was cleansed of the disease, he turned back to give glory to God. Now think about this. The temple was where God's presence resided. You went to the temple to offer sacrifices and give glory to God. But the one leper who went back to give glory to God went to Jesus to give his glory to God because he perceived that the presence of God had now moved from the temple to the person of Jesus Christ. In this one exchange, the world and its relationship to God was turned upside down. First, God had set Israel apart from the rest of the world as God's special people, his special nation. They had special rules to live by, special diets, special clothes. They had sacrifices. They had circumcision. It was all to keep God's people separate from the rest of the world, to keep the clean apart from the unclean. No one who was unclean or diseased could enter the temple, and the priest would never touch a person who was unclean. As a matter of fact, no clean person would touch an unclean person, because then they themselves would become unclean. It was kind of like a case of cooties on steroids, or more seriously, like having AIDS today. But Jesus, the Holy One, the ultimate clean one, God Himself, came to them and heals them. He sets them free from the law, from the rules, from the diets, from the clothes, from the sacrifices, from circumcision. He sets them free to be God's people, as the whole world is now God's people. So what does this mean to us today? Well, like lepers, we are all diseased with sin. We disobey God in authority. We lie. We cheat. We hurt people, even people we love. We are fatally sick. We will all die. We should be shouting to all around us as we go our way, "Unclean! Unclean!" We should all be shouting, "Kyrie Eleison," as we do in our worship service, as we do in confession and absolution, as we do in our prayers, and as we ought to do whenever we're facing trouble. But God has healed us through Jesus Christ's work on the cross. There is no longer Jew or Greek, male or female, slave or free, clean or unclean. There is only one people whom Jesus Christ died for and forgave. And just as a leper did nothing in order to earn his healing, neither do we, neither do I, neither do you do anything to earn our forgiveness and healing for ourselves. It is a gift. It is done for us. This forgiveness that Jesus Christ has given us is the most powerful gift in the world. If we look at another example of Jesus from the Bible, the story of the paralyzed man in Luke 5, we can see this clearly. The man was paralyzed, and he had heard that Jesus was in town, and he was at this certain house, and his friends took him up on his cot and they carried him to see Jesus, but the house was packed. There was no way to get in. And so they climbed up upon the roof and they tore a hole in the roof and they lowered him in to see Jesus. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." Now the religious leaders didn't like that at all. They were incensed, because only God can forgive sins, and they did not believe that Jesus Christ was God. So Jesus, to prove his point, says, "Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? But that you will realize that I have the power to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, get up, pick up your bed, and walk." And he did. Immediately, the man got up and picked up what he had been lying on, and he went home glorifying God. God can and does perform both physical and spiritual healing in the form of forgiveness of sins. All disease, sickness, pain, and suffering is a result of sin. Now, don't get me wrong, not a direct result of your sin right now, because God is not punishing you by the things that happen in your life. But because it's a fallen world and because of sin, there is disease and there is evil and there is hurt in our world. So where there is forgiveness, there is also healing and salvation. See, the 10 lepers are like our world in miniature. Just like Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, so all 10 lepers were cleansed and healed of their disease. But only one came back to glorify God. Likewise, although through the work of Jesus Christ, all creation is being renewed, all sin is forgiven, only a few recognize their Savior and come back to praise Him, to praise Jesus Christ, God, Father, and Holy Spirit. Only fewer still will release their sins to the forgiveness that Jesus has already won for them, for you, and for me. Why, oh why, people, do you leave such a gift unused? Why do we hold with clenched fists the guilt and the suffering and the hurts and the pains and refuse to let them go to Jesus Christ's work on the cross? Don't you understand that Jesus Christ died for all that? Don't you see and understand that Jesus came precisely for sinners like you and like me? Don't you see that He loved the most despised, the least of these in the world so much that He died for them, for you, for me? This work, Jesus' life, His words are given for the least of the world, for the worst of the world, for the murderers like David. Yes, David, who had Uriah killed so that he could take his beautiful wife, Bathsheba. Or Paul, who brought Christians to be judged and stoned to death, like Stephen. Or for the cheaters of the world, like Abraham, who passed his wife off as if she was his sister so that he could gain favor from the king. Or Jacob, who cheated his brother out of his birthright and his inheritance. For all these, yes, for all these he died. For the hated, for the rejected foreigners and the Samaritans, for the homeless prodigal sons, Jesus came and died. Because the healthy don't need a doctor. Blessed are the poor in spirit because they need salvation. And that is why Jesus came. For them. For you. And for me. He died. And rose again. I believe and I know that we have the sure promise that there is nothing, neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor present nor things to come nor powers nor heights nor depths nor anything in all creation, nor sins past, nor unfaithfulness, nor murder, nor theft, no matter who we have hurt, or failed, or betrayed, or let down, none of this will be able to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. This present, this wonderful news, this gift, this gospel Jesus has given to us, and allows us then to live every day anew, a new creation. This is where it begins, brothers and sisters. You can drop your baggage, your guilt, your past, and begin again daily washed in your baptism, daily washed in God's Word, daily washed in Holy Communion, His very blood and body, for the forgiveness of sins. See, you are already healed. Now may the love of our God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.